Hello, and welcome to TV Dinner, the podcast where we take three bites out of a show and tell you how it tastes. I'm your host, Kalena.
And I'm the other host, sort of.
You are a host. You're Sean. A permanent host.
I'm a permanent co-host, Sean.
And I forgot to say it last time, but this week we are watching the show Grimm. Yes. Grimm is a show on NBC. It actually just finished its last season. I think that was season 6. I watched every episode of every season as it was coming out. Actually, I think I started watching it when it started season 2, but, you know, close enough.
Yeah. You were pretty much there for most of everything.
Yeah. And it's one of those shows that I really like the formula, because, as you know, Sean, one of the formulas that I really like is cop show with a twist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is only the first of some that I'll be showing you.
Yeah, I already know one or two others.
Yeah. So what do you know about Grimm?
Well, you told me a little bit. You told me... You sent me some pictures of what look like tokusatsu monsters, and you told me that it's like solving murders, except one part of your requisite crime-fighting duo is like they have like true seeing, they can see monsters?
Yeah, pretty much. In a way, it's a little more complicated.
Well, I mean, you don't come to someone like me who's never watched the show for complicated.
Yeah, so that's the basics of it. I really hate saying that, oh, this show is really good if you skip the first season. But if you're more into plot and less into, like, procedural cop drama, probably skip the first season.
Really?
Well, just because... I actually had this conversation with someone else, but a lot of shows will start out with something that they know will get good ratings, which is procedural cop show. There are a million of them on TV because everybody loves them. And so a lot of shows will start off with that and then go into the plot.
Right.
I mean, okay. This show, especially the first three episodes, which you're about to watch, does a lot... it does a lot at setting up the what's going to happen.
But it's still something that gets more serialized later on.
Yeah, but the bulk of season one is just like normal monster of the week even.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say maybe the first few episodes and the last few episodes of the first season are important.
All right. That happens, especially with first seasons. And like, honestly, it's hard to think of, like, it's hard for a show to not... become more serialized as it like goes on. Like, it's in the name, right? You know, it gets serialized, it gets more complicated, there's more continuity the longer the show is around.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're more into plot, I would kind of find the important episodes and skip everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I really enjoy the like just the weekly mystery solving. That's something that really appeals to me. So I watched the whole thing and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm cool with mysteries and I'm cool with procedurals, even though I don't watch them that often. I used to watch them a lot.
Is this the first show that I'm showing you that I like?
Yeah, I think so.
Terrible.
You're a weirdo like that. Everything I've shown you, I think I liked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you still like Q-Ranger as far as I know.
I do. Anyways, I don't really have much to add because I don't fucking know shit, but like, if I had to make some predictions or whatever, it's like, I'm guessing that like, we got like, our crime-fighting duo of like, more serious one and more jokey one, I'm gonna guess... Honestly, it's hard to tell which one is going to have the magical eyesight, but I'm going to go with the more serious one, since it's called Grimm. And I'm going to say that fantasy monsters.
Now, okay, so do you have any guess? So the ones that I sent you that looked like tokusatsu monsters were from the most recent season, were from the last season.
So is season one going to be like really bad CG?
Well, I just think season one is less creative because they have the entirety of monsters, and by season six they're like, ah, oh, fuck, have we done this one yet?
Kind of reminds me of Supernatural.
God, at least this one fucking ended.
Mm-hmm. With that show, it's like you start running out of things in heaven and hell.
Yeah, I don't think Grimm gets as like wildly complicated as Supernatural does, thank God. And you know, one of my favorite things about a series is when it ends. It's a weird way to put it, but like, I like it when something has a story arc and it goes and it stops and like you can see the trajectory of it. Mm-hmm. And some things, when they're serialized, just like they come up with ways to make it go on forever, and it's super annoying.
I think I'm not overstepping my bounds to say you like shorter stuff that's more contained.
Mm-hmm.
And that like you really dislike things that are the opposite of that, like the shonen drama, the shonen genre.
So I mean, I used to be really into like Naruto and Bleach and all that, but like I just can't bother anymore, especially with like One Piece. I don't think I ever bothered with,
just because it's so extremely long.
Yeah, like if you cannot end your own story, then I'm not gonna start it.
I'm always hearing things about One Piece from people who are more versed in it than I am, that it's like, oh, well, they're always making progress from, like, one location to the other towards their goal. And it's like, I remember hearing a while back that, like, the One Piece guy was like, yeah, we're about halfway through the story right now.
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm not saying that it's not a thing that's enjoyable for other people. It's just not enjoyable for me.
Yeah, it's just not to your tastes when things are so long.
Yeah. So we are going to get to that. And we'll see you after we watch three episodes. And we're back. So we watched three episodes of Grimm. Yep. Do you have anything to say right off the bat?
It reminds me of Supernatural, only less edgy.
Less edgy?
Yeah, less edgy. Because it's got a very like straightforward police procedural thing going on. And while Supernatural is formulaic as all get out, they have the whole like we're cowboys rebels aesthetic going on that makes them act like crazy people.
Yeah, I would say that they're very similar in that they have like supernatural, not necessarily enemies, but things having to deal with the supernatural that they're going after. But yeah, Grimm is probably more formulaic in the sense that it's a cop drama. And those are always, you know, they always have to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to quickly, like, summarize the setup of this show as far as I understand it, because I might need a little help. So okay. We've got a guy who's apparently descended from the brothers Grimm, and they did not just come up with stories. They also hunted monsters, apparently.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they showed it in the first three episodes, but remember the trailer that has all of the, like, books and weapons and stuff in it?
Yeah, the serial killer trailer.
Yeah. there are lots of books written down by previous Grimms, and so I think the assumption is that the Brothers Grimm kind of...
Giles Library Reading Research Monster Time.
Yeah, the assumption is that the Brothers Grimm kind of made the first books of these to help him along on his journey. Kind of like Buffy style, like, we have to read how to figure out how to defeat this thing.
Yeah. Okay, so... he finds out he's a Grimm at the same time that he is doing a case that involves a werewolf or a blutbad.
Mm-hmm.
And he also meets a... So there is a, like... there's the nice blutbad who is handling himself and is becoming the, like, unfortunate accidental sidekick.
Yeah, that's Monroe.
And then there was another blutbad, I believe, who was the real criminal.
Yeah, but, you know, in the beginning, Nick is really bad because he just got his powers. And he's like, oh, everybody who is a monster must be a bad person. So, you know, he sees Monroe and he's like, oh, you're obviously the person, the bad guy.
But you're a werewolf. You're saying you don't, you know, you don't do that.
Right. Speaking of Monroe, it's really funny how he gets kind of roped in to being Nick's sidekick. Well, because at first Nick tries to arrest him for being the bad guy, which he isn't. And then he asks him for help because he's literally the only person he knows with powers similar to his.
Because he can't get help from his aunt.
Yeah, so Nick, the main character, is a Grimm, which isn't a monster. He doesn't shapeshift like the other guys do. And Monroe does shapeshift into a werewolf.
And he doesn't freak out.
I don't think you mentioned Aunt Marie.
So he has this aunt who introduces him to the whole concept, but she gets almost murdered.
Yeah, well,
like, straight away.
She comes up and she's like, you're a Grimm, this is gonna be hard to explain, but I'm dying, so you need to figure the shit out.
Oh, she was already dying? Of what?
It looks like cancer.
Oh, because I remember her getting attacked, and then...
She was definitely attacked a bunch of times in the two episodes that she existed.
Yeah, she's already dying, and then she gets attacked, and then when she's comatose in the hospital, she gets attacked again, and then when she's not comatose in the hospital, she gets attacked a third time.
Yeah, the third time is when she actually does die. I think that was the second episode. Maybe third.
Which is a little weird, but okay. Oh, very edgy in episode three.
Yeah, it's never really explained, but I think that's kind of the starting point of Nick's powers, is that she is about to die.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Kind of the idea that this Grimm in the bloodline is about to be gone, so the next one needs to pick up the slack or whatever.
There must always be a chosen.
What do you think about Aunt Marie?
I mean, I wish I had gotten to know her more than not at all. She seemed pretty badass.
Like that weird dream sequence?
Oh, that... Where she fucking stabs him through the hand?
Yeah.
I was under the assumption that that wasn't really her, though.
Yeah, I don't know. The show does some weird stuff with dream sequences. Because sometimes it's, you know, someone... I wrote down astral projection. That could be the case.
I offered the alternative explanation that it was, like, the incarnation of his bloodline.
Yeah, it could be that, too.
Okay, so the blutbad with the weird pedophilic undertones in the first episode, he gets shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then in episode two, it's the three bears, and nobody, none of the bears die, but the mom gets horribly injured on accident.
Yeah, I mean, she was also a bear.
And the third episode was the one with the network of bees. Who? What were they? What was the deal with the bees and the witches and them being natural enemies?
The third episode, it was the bees and the hexam beasts are naturally enemies because the bee people are naturally aligned with Grimms and the hexam beasts are not.
Okay, so that's what it was. The bee people were gonna deliver a warning to Nick. But the hexen beasts were like targeting them and stuff. So the bee people were killing the hexen beasts, and then Nick ended up on the side of helping the hexen beasts because Whoopi's got monsters in his own division.
Well, I'm saying it's not necessarily that, but it's Nick is a cop first and a Grimm second, at least. Mm-hmm. In these first three episodes. So being a cop first, he has to protect the victims of the people who are... He has to protect the people who are being targeted by murderers. And he can't really let his Grimm side get in the way of his job.
So who dies in episode three?
The bee leader.
Does Nick kill her?
I think Hank kills her, actually. Because I think Nick is really torn, because at first he's with the Hexam Beast, who he saw tried to kill his aunt. And he's with the bee person, who the Hexam Beast is also trying to kill. They're trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
And they're fighting each other, and his cop side says, protect the Hexam Beast. His Grimm side says, protect the bee person. And he does nothing, and Hank comes in and shoots the lady that was trying to kill the Hexen Beast.
Oh no. Well, which one is the real not bad monster? Who do I shoot?
Well, Hank doesn't know anything about anything, so Hank is his decision partner, by the way.
Yeah. His real partner, not his wolfman partner. I just wanted to examine the trend of, is this cop just shooting all of the suspects situation?
Oh, I will say that probably a large number of the suspects die.
I mean, they are mythical monsters.
But I wouldn't say that that's very different from any other cop show.
Well, the bad guy, instead of getting arrested, gets shot?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of cop shows will have the bad guy confess everything. But also, like, it's really dramatic and... I guess good for ratings if there's kind of like a shootout at the end. Even if they don't die, there has to be like some sort of, you know, tension, some sort of physical something to choreograph.
I don't watch a lot of cop shows, though.
I do, though.
Yeah. So murder is not the meal of the day on cop shows.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not weird for a cop show to have the pro tag kill suspects. What is interesting is that, and this is an interesting thing in lots of video games as well as movies, where the very first person the protagonist kills, they're like super torn up about it, and then they go on and kill like 50 more people and it doesn't matter.
It's fine. It's not, though.
I also wanted to just say a quick deserving, I think, criticism of the show, even though I like it a lot. So there's the main character, Nick, and his partner, Hank. And Nick and his whole family and his girlfriend... and the Hexam Beast we talked about before and the captain are all white people. And his partner Hank is a black person. And Sergeant Wu, who super isn't important until like season 4 or 5, is Asian, and I think Wu and Hank are the only non-white people on the show.
That's what it seems like.
Sometimes they will... it's happened, I think, in two or three episodes. Nick's girlfriend speaks Spanish, so sometimes they will get help from Hispanic people.
Okay. Because I don't remember that.
Well, that didn't happen in the first three episodes. But a lot of times, because the show is five seasons long, they pull their Monster of the Week from different lore. So some of them are Hispanic lore, in which case they bring on Hispanic people for, like, the one episode.
Ay, ay, ay.
But literally, I cannot think of a long-term character other than Hank and Wu that is not white.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's kind of like they tried, but not really. They tried in the way that, like, TV shows will try by giving you, you know, oh, he's the partner, so he's kind of the main character, even though he's kept in the dark for most of the series and is mostly comic relief.
I mean, from what I remember from watching, like, five seasons of Supernatural, almost six, I'm pretty sure that in these first three episodes, they, like, already have them, like, beat on recurring non-white characters.
Like I said, I only watched half a season of Supernatural, and I wasn't super into it. Apparently, they have them beat on recurring female characters also, which Grimm does well, I think.
Oh, yeah. Supernatural always has lady demons be, like, the villains that you, like, meet up with in the episode and have to do whatever on, like, fight or torture or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I would say that some of the plot lines for the female characters are pretty shitty, but for the most part, they have recurring female characters that are pretty cool. But yeah, as far as the POC thing, they do a pretty bad job.
What do you think of these first three episodes, looking back at it as a fan? Like, are these examples of, like, good Grimm episodes, or does the show get much better?
It really depends on what you're looking for. It is really interesting because basically the dynamic between every single character changes by the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hopefully, every single thing is different.
Good.
But the later seasons get way more plot heavy, even though they do still have Monster of the Week stuff. It's way more, like, gritty. And sometimes in the goofy way.
I wouldn't call it not gritty to start out with.
I just mean,
it's already being a cop drama.
Yeah. I mean, the show does its best to be kind of gritty with, like, the monsters and stuff. But sometimes it can get a little silly with it. Like, it takes itself too seriously.
Boy, Nick, there sure have been a lot of unexplainable homicides lately.
Yeah. I do like the first few episodes. I'd say they're pretty representative. I mean, later on, Nick gets more help and he learns what he's doing. But for the most part, the show is still, like, formulaic and still follows kind of the same pattern with plot sprinkled in every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Nick learning what he's doing, we were talking about the use of having a really stupid protagonist while we were watching it.
Oh, yeah. You have to have everything. You can just start off with a dumbass who needs everything explained to them, and then the audience doesn't feel stupid.
Yeah. It's really funny how a lot of protagonists are just super dumb, because that way you can explain stuff to the audience without literally explaining things to the audience.
As you know.
Yeah. So basically the whole audience is learning everything as Nick is learning it. So what we were saying before, like Blutbad and Hexenbeast, are basically fancy words for werewolf and witch.
Yeah, starting off with some ubiquitous stuff. You know, the werewolf, the witch, you know, a bear and a bee.
Mm-hmm. A literal bear. They just literally turned into bears, not like werebears or anything, but...
She literally turned entirely into a big, bad CG bear.
Oh, and the bear's name was Barry.
Oh yeah, Barry the Bear Bear.
How do you feel about the show's opening quotes?
Not memorable, but I appreciate what they're doing there.
Yeah, I figured you didn't remember them. Because I don't.
Yeah, they don't really stand out, but they are like quotes of stories that involve... They're like quotes from either stories or poetry that relate to the monster of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Considering the premise being the whole like Grimm Brothers thing, I think that it fits. It's a good thing to do.
It's weird because, like I said, I watched every episode and they do the quote thing every single episode. Even if it's not like a Monster of the Week episode. And I never really liked them.
You just not a fan?
I mean, first of all, they're in papyrus font, which isn't like a great visual.
That's what bothers you?
No. I'm just saying, like, it just looks like graphic design is my passion. when they just throw in white papyrus font over the first frame of the episode.
Okay, well, what else bothers you about it? What really bothers you about it?
Well, it just seems kind of unnecessary. Like, if you know what the episode is named, then you kind of know what's about to happen. Because I think the episode with the bears literally has bear in the title. So you don't need, like, a quote talking about bears. You don't need to quote talking about Goldilocks, I'm pretty sure was the episode quote.
Yeah, but a little poem or a line at the beginning of the episode is more elegant than just a title drop.
That's fair. Do you have any favorite characters from the first three episodes?
Well, Monroe, of course.
Monroe is good.
He's the only one with any jokes.
Yeah. He's like that, I think, pretty much the whole time. He's very, like, he doesn't take things super seriously most of the time. And he's just a funny wolf guy, and the reason partially that he gets roped into Nick's basically whole life is that he's just way too nice.
He's just a huge pushover. He just wants to do his exercise and his food and live his ordinary life that nobody bothers him in.
Yeah, he just wants to fix clocks all day, which is his day job. He fixes clocks.
Bad things happen to my grandma at the hand of a Grimm. Oh, you're a Grimm? Wow, you're really incompetent and need help. I guess I'm not going to help you.
Pretty much. He literally says, like, oh, if my family knew I was helping you, I would not be invited back to, you know, the reunion.
No family reunions for Monroe.
Yeah, and, but he helps Nick anyway because...
Nick is such a dumbass.
Yeah, Nick doesn't know what he's doing, and he doesn't know how to do his job as a Grimm, basically.
He has an entire murder trailer of information to read up on and get skilled with, and he's like, why don't I just go to talk to the werewolf instead?
Yeah, like, he has his job training as a cop, which I don't know much about, like, actual cop stuff, but I assume he's pretty good at it because... He's shown to be, like, competent at following up on clues and stuff.
Well, he's not training. He's a detective, right?
Yeah, he's a detective. And even, I think, in the very first episode, he does some, like, Sherlock Holmes shit.
Yeah.
You know, that
is
makes
that
his
related
partner...
to his supernatural powers?
I don't think so. I think it's just supposed to be, like, supposed to show his character as a good detective. Which is supposed to help along, you know, the plot line of, like, oh, is he supposed to follow his detective side or his Grimm side?
That's such a non-issue. He solves Grimm crimes.
But
I mean, I guess what it is an issue.
What I was saying is that, like, he's shown to be really competent at his job, but then, like, his job as a Grimm to, you know, find and take out these bad people, he just, like, has no fucking clue.
Well, that makes sense.
He's a super beginner.
He just handles it like he handles any normal detectiving.
He does, which is kind of bad, because it's not helpful.
And that's how you get serialized mysteries.
Yeah. So,
what was I gonna say?
Probably after watching the whole series, Monroe is still my favorite character.
I was gonna say that Nick is kind of stale bread.
Yeah, Nick is average as far as protagonists go.
And like, he's a super generic protag.
In the first season, it's so funny because he looks really young because he's got a clean-shaven face and, like, you know, his hair kind of hangs down on his forehead with little bangs.
He's got that cut, that and, 2008 cut.
Yeah, and in later seasons, he definitely goes full, like, white protag. He gets, well, you know, he gets a haircut, so it's up off of his forehead, and he basically has stubble 24/7.
He has my 5 o'clock shadow.
He has a 5 o'clock shadow at 11 in the morning.
Classic. All right. So, yeah, and there are no real standouts in the class. There are no real standouts in the cast. Everybody is taking themselves, like, pretty seriously. Monroe, just, he really stands out because he's the comic relief. He is pretty much the source of all the levity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Hank, like I said, has a lot of levity associated with his character because he is the partner that knows nothing, has to, you know, be dumbfounded at every clue that Nick inexplicably comes across.
He has to deal with all of Nick's bullshit.
Yeah, he has to deal with all of Nick's bullshit while not knowing what his bullshit is.
Nick needs a Gus.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Nick needs a non-magical person who is in on his secret.
So, based on the first three episodes, would you watch more?
I mean, I guess. Not a lot more.
Not a lot? It's not your cup of tea?
I mean, if you made me watch more, I would probably watch it with you and make jokes about it, and I wouldn't mind it. Mm-hmm. But I would not watch it by myself, unprompted, is what I will say. That's the balance it's at.
Okay. I already watched the whole thing, so that's my opinion on it.
It hooked you?
I mean, it gets really fucking buck wild in the later seasons. And some of the monsters are cool, even though the, like, bad CGI in the first few episodes is not necessarily enticing. So how did it taste to you in that case?
Ah, that is difficult.
We don't really have any, like, in-between flavors.
I thought sour was in between.
I guess. Well, I was going to say, based on your opinion of Nick, would you say it's bland?
Yeah, I would call this show, it is either, if we're just making stuff up, it is either bland untoasted bread, or if we must use the flavors we already have, maybe something around like sweet and sour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not good, but it's not really bad. It's just, it's like I like Monroe, and I find mythology and monsters and grim creeping things right under the surface of your friendly neighborhood. All those things are appealing to me, but just like without like a particularly like standout protagonist or like villain. Or, like, mystery. I'm just not really grabbed. I'm just not really feeling it. I'm not sure if I fully can comprehend the taste of this with just 3 episodes.
That's, well, I am suggesting in that case bitter.
Well, bitter is disappointing stuff, though.
I thought bitter was, it could have been good, but wasn't really. Like, it could have been better if they did something differently.
Yeah, but that's what we said about Scream Queens, and Scream Queens was sour.
Oh, then sour is what I mean.
You think sour? Sour's good?
Well, in your opinion, I like it. I wouldn't necessarily call it savory, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, I think sour is, like, that there's something there, but it's not like, I would not eat this for a meal. I would not eat a sour meal, but I would enjoy a sour treat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's more of a middle-of-the-road grade.
Yeah, so something you would enjoy occasionally, then, if I meet you.
I would enjoy in the right scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With the right prompting.
Do you have any final thoughts on it?
Monsters are good.
Yeah, you do. See, that's the thing. You do like Monsters of the Week a lot.
I love monsters.
And they do get into some toku shit with their costumes.
I do love dudes in rubber suits.
So maybe if you watched a few more episodes, you would give it a higher rating.
Yeah, maybe. But at the end of the day, we do like a 3-episode.
Yeah, taste I was gonna say that's not the conceit of this show.
Yeah, that's
this
not the show's... conceit of this show. This show is all about doing the 3-episode taste test. It just 3 episodes of this show did not grab me. Maybe try it out more if it sounds like it'll appeal to you people. If Supernatural Cop Show is mm-hmm. what appeals to you,
3 episodes. I mean, it did grab me by 3 episodes to watch more because I was curious about how it would go. And like I said, I love cop shows anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think that is my problem with this. It is very much a cop show and not a monster show.
So if you're not into cop shows, probably is not your thing.
Tragic.
Oh, I was looking at my notes to see if there's anything we wanted to say last. And I have it written down that you called Renard a police boss. Because you didn't know the word for captain.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. I don't watch cop shows. Of course I don't know that stuff. They were the police boss. They were the boss of the police people.
Renard is the police boss.
Yeah, the police boss. Police boss undercover in his own precinct.
Yeah, so there's this dramatic irony plotline where the police boss is also one of the transforming, shape-shifting bad guys, probably.
Oh, but we didn't see his face go all nasty, did we?
We didn't, but we saw him talking to the girl that tried to kill his aunt.
Well, he's the only monster that we know of that is at Nick's workplace, so I assumed that he is some kind of human monster sympathizer / mob boss?
Do you have a guess as to what he is?
So he is a monster.
Well, you said you assumed he was.
I am going to go with just a regular old TV show writer, when confronted with this premise, be like, for like their main big boss, at least of season 1. And I'm going to go with the Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman.
Yeah, a Boogeyman or some kind of Sandman figure.
And what would that look like?
Well, you know, they're creepy dream shadow monsters.
Okay.
That's what a Boogeyman is.
Okay.
Or all maybe right. A Boogeyman is a... No, I'm confused now.
I think a Boogeyman is a dream monster.
Okay, so I'm not the only one.
I will say that I think they do a dream monster in one of the later seasons, but that's not what he is.
Do you want to just tell me?
We can go into a spoiler zone.
Spoiler zone activate.
Yeah, because I'm not sure. I don't think we learn what he is, at least for the entire first season. It's kind of in the dark. But he turns out to be the male version of a Hexen beast, which is called a Zaur beast.
Oh, so he's a warlock.
Yeah, so his face goes all fucked up like hers does. When he transforms it, it looks like basically it's been raked.
I still don't think that witch and warlock count as monsters.
Yeah, it's a weird show. They have a bunch of different monsters that are like, this is stupid.
This is fucking dumb.
Well, I mean, because, like, they have a lot of monsters which are, like, the traditional Brothers Grimm. And then they also have monsters from different cultures and different lores. And they are wildly ranging, and, like, a lot of them can fit into society. And then some of them are just completely incapacitated by their powers, and it sucks. Whenever there's an episode that's like, I literally would be dead if I didn't do this one thing that's keeping me alive, that's also a crime. I'm doing a big bad crime
because I have to do crime to live.
And it also, like, all of those episodes suck, and I don't think the show kind of delves into it enough.
Gets into the gray morality of police work. Yeah. Get down, you're committing a crime, but I have to do crime to live. Ah!
Yeah. Sometimes they'll go into it, but usually they don't.
Yeah, cop shows like to present a pretty black and white moral worldview.
So with that said, I guess we've settled on Sour for this show, and we've got a 50-50 split on whether you should watch it based on the first three episodes.
Hey, maybe give it a shot, though.
Maybe give it a shot, if procedurals are your thing. If not, maybe don't.
You know what? You should just tell them to do the three-episode test.
Well, then we're obsolete, so...
We're not obsolete when we say that a show is really good or really bad.
I mean, I guess. It's just like, oh, you do the work.
Yeah, you do the work.
Yeah, we do the work enough. It's your turn.
We did enough. Send us in your podcast episodes, lazy motherfuckers.
And that was TV Dinner. Oh, I do have one another quick thing to say. This is more housekeeping, so if you don't care, you can turn it off. Definitely, if you've been listening, visit us at tvdpodcast.tumblr.com. If you want to recommend any shows or just, like, get in touch, see what's up. So, as you might have noticed, our first five episodes were recorded way before we posted them. And now we've kind of caught up. So, our episodes are finally being recorded as they're being posted.
6 weeks away from the country will do that.
Yeah, the reason we missed last week and the reason that we recorded all of our episodes in advance is because I was in another country for 6 weeks, and I started posting the episodes while I was in that country, but now I'm back in the US and we will be recording as we go. So that was just a quick update I wanted to give.
So yeah, go ahead and send us your comments and tell us what show you want us to watch, and we'll probably watch it. There's a very high probability.
And next episode, we will be watching the show Transformers Prime.
Bye. Bye.